All right, Rosé, so let's continue a little bit in Hilchos Chanukah. So I want to begin tonight in Siman Tov Resh Ayin Aleph, Halacha Hey. So this perhaps is one of the most fascinating halachos in Hilchos Chanukah for reasons that you're going to see in just a little bit. And the truth is this to a certain degree almost gets to the core of the fundamental distinction between Chanukah in Eretz Yisrael and Chanukah in Chutz La'aretz. So listen to this. Let me just get to the right. Sufgani, more flavors for sure in Eretz Yisrael. That's for sure. Do they have a lot? Mashiach's coming. So take a look. So this is Sivhei. Tov Resh Ayin Aleph, Sivhei. Ner Chanukah, Manicho al Pesach Hasomuch Lushus Rabbi Mibachutz. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, where do you put Ner Chanukah? You put Ner Chanukah, literally translated, at the entranceway, closest to the public domain outside. So remember again, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the concept from the Gemara, that the essence of Ner Chanukah is persuminiso, is publicizing the miracle. So because it's publicizing the miracle, by definition, we place it outside of the home. So the way you're actually placing it is Pesach HaSamoch L'Rishus HaRabim, the entranceway to your home that is closest to the public domain, Mibachutz, on the outside. So the ikar of Ner Chanukah is to be kindled outside of the home.
Which direction?
Oh, so hold on. Good. So now, remember, so the assumption over here that Shulchan Aruch is making is that you have one entranceway that opens up to the public domain. So a person could have multiple entrances, but the shaila is which is the entranceway that opens up to the Rish, what we call the Rishus HaRabim. Now, for argument's sake, if one lives, let's say, on Overbrook, right? So there's no Rishus HaRabim there, meaning, remember, from a halachic perspective, Rishus HaRabim means like a place where there is a public, constant pedestrian traffic. So the idea is you would open up your menorah, or you replace your menorah at the entranceway that opens up to the most public street that is accessible to you. So presumably, for most people, that's their front door. You replace it by, does that answer your question? So what were you asking?
I know which direction.
Right. Let me which step. Oh, right to left, left. Oh, good. Hold on. Good. We're not up to that yet. Good. Right now, we're just. Oh, good. We're just figuring out where to place it. So I'm actually placing it by the entranceway of my home that faces the Rosh Hashanah. Im haya abayas pasuach Rosh Hashanah. So if the actual entranceway opens up to the Rosh Hashanah, I place it by my doorway. It's actually very interesting. So remember again, so the Shulchan Aruch is quoting a reality in Talmudic times, which is homes, you didn't usually have a door that opened right up to the Rosh Hashanah. Instead, you had a home, right? And your front door opened up into your chatzar, right? Now, chatzar doesn't just mean a front yard, like as we know it today, but a chatzar was usually enclosed, like a courtyard. So if you had a courtyard, interestingly enough, where did you place your menorah? You place it at the entranceway of your courtyard. So this is really fascinating. So understand, and the truth is, you would say, although here's the interesting part. Well, no, oh, so you're saying good. So if you notice, by the way, that might not necessarily be true, because the halacha is that the menorah has to be placed by a Pesach, has to be placed by an entranceway. That's why, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch is dafka dealing with what he calls a Pesach HaChatzer. So for example, if one has a front door and you have a big front lawn, and your house is set back by your front lawn, so it's quite possible, man, there are sheets right over there by the corner. So it's quite possible that halacha lemaisa, you'd still be putting it by your front door, because I was going to see, I'm sorry? You don't have to sit chaslama. You're placing yourself there. You can sit with everybody else. So I've done a play about.
I'll join the
Mamish. Okay, fine. Done. Self-imposed exile. So this is actually very interesting. As we're going to, this has become clear in just a little bit. The din of Ner Chanukah is not just the din of the home, it's a din on the Pesach of the home, the entranceway of the home. So that's why, again, the Shulchan Aruch says, if your entranceway opens up to the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so you place it by the entrance to the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and if you have an enclosed courtyard in front of your home, you place it by the entranceway to your courtyard that abuts the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Okay, Vimhayadar ba'aliya. So remember, there are going to be multiple cases. Case number one is your front door opens up to the Rosh Hasharabim. If your front door opens, there are sheets right on the back table. Yeah, the chairs are open. There just happen to be sheets right back there if you want. So case number one is the entrance we have your home opens to the Rosh Hasharabim. If the entrance we have your home opens to the Rosh Hasharabim, then what? Where do you place the menorah? By the entrance we have to your home. You have an enclosed chatzar that abuts the Rosh Hasharabim. Where do you put your menorah? Entrance we have the chatzar. Now, Vim Hayadar Ba'aliyah, so we have to understand, Aliyah literally doesn't mean a high rise, right? There are no high rises in the times of Shulchan Aruch, or for that matter, again, in the times of, I don't know, we have two real estate guys, I don't know what the history of high rises are, right? But for sure, Rav Yosef Karo, there are no high rises.
New York.
Okay, good. All right, so Vim Hayadar Ba'aliyah, She'in Lo Pesach Pasuk Lash Sarim, so we'll say, remember, if you live in an Aliyah, which means a multi-story domicile, and therefore, again, I don't have an entranceway that opens up to Rosh Hasharabim. Essentially, what I have is two entrances. What are my two entranceways? Number one, an entranceway ultimately, again, to my home, and presumably another entranceway, which is what? Which is to where? Okay, there should be sheets, right? Which presumably is an entranceway ultimately to a stairwell of sorts. So, manicho becholon hasamoch l'Rosh Hasharabim. So, what do I do if I don't have a ground level entrance? I put it in my window that faces the Rosh Hashanah. So I have to be careful. Right? So I have to be careful with this, because remember, I can't necessarily extrapolate from this to what would be in current day high rises. We'll see what the Rav Moshe says with current day high rises. But again, so case number three now is I live in an upper story domicile. I have no personal entrance to Rosh Hashanah. That's fine. Put it in the window that faces Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say, fine. All of this is the straight halacha. Where does everything change? The next line. So watch this. He says, "Ubishas hasakana." What about in a time of danger? Now, presumably, this is already just a quote from the Gemara. What does time of danger mean? So time of danger presumably means overt anti-Semitism. If we're living in a time with overt anti-Semitism, she'eino rashi lekayim ha-mitzvah, where again, I don't now have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah in its purest sense, putting it outside, then what's the halacha? Manicho al shulchano v'dayo. Go say, what's the halacha? What's the halacha if you're lighting inside? Because sakana? Now, put it on your table. What does he put on your table? As opposed to what? The window. See, this is very important. If you're lighting it inside, of course, if you're lighting it inside, that tells you what? It's sakana. If it's sakana, if it's danger, then you're not what? You want to do anything and everything not to publicize the miracle, which means you're not putting it by your window. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if you b'shas ha-sakana, you could light inside and you could put it on your table and that's enough. So let's pause here for just a moment, because this is an incredibly fascinating halacha. What you've just seen in two lines is the entire evolution of Hilchos Chanukah. We start again with the halacha that says, remember again, I'll say three different cases. If you live in a home with an entranceway that abuts Rosh Hasharabim, put in the entranceway. You live in a home with a chatzar, and the chatzar has an entry that abuts Rosh Hasharabim, then what? Put it by the chatzar. If you live in an aliyah, then what do? Window that faces Rosh Hasharabim. Everything Rosh Hasharabim. Because I will say, remember again, the din of Ner Chanukah, we spoke about this last week already, the din of Ner Chanukah is a din of pursuing, it's a publicizing the miracle. That's why the Iker Mitzvah Hadlaka is not indoors. So we'll say, it sounds strange to us in Galus, because we're used to lighting indoors, but the Iker Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is to publicize the miracle to the people in the public domain. You light outside. So those are the three cases. However, then the fourth case is Shasakana. Shasakana, time of danger, what do? The Mitzvah Hadlaka moves from the outside and moves in. Moves in. Where do you light it inside of your house? Where? What does on your table mean? Pretty much anywhere you want. Now, we'll discuss, interestingly enough, does it mean on your table like where you're eating? Or do once I'm lighting inside, can I wear? So we'll discuss that. So we'll say, so this raises, of course, a fundamental issue. In today's day and age, what should we do in Chutz La'aretz? So meaning, think about this for just a moment. So again, remember again, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that the Ikar Mitzvah of Hadlaka is outside. Shas HaSakana. Ultimately, again, you collect inside. Now, today, You know, who knows, you know, in light of all the events that occur. But let's assume for a moment that right now in Baltimore, it's not Shasa Sakana. There's no Sakana to light outside. So as I said, the halacha is, so should we be lighting outside or not? So this is really like a fundamental issue. I can light my menorah outside. It's not a problem with light menorah. I can get the glass box, light it outside. Do I have a halachic imperative to do that or not? So this happens to be an incredible discussion amongst the poskim. And there are many poskim that essentially hold the Minchas Yitzchak, others, we don't have to go through all of them, but I'll tell you, to outside, is that essentially the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah outside of Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz, diaspora, has fundamentally changed. That because there were generations where Jews were lighting inside because of Sakana, so the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah has morphed in Chutz La'aretz, has morphed in the diaspora communities. To the point that what? There is no longer a mitzvah to light outside, but rather we light inside. That is why today you will see that the general custom in diaspora communities, even if there's not sakana, I could light my menorah outside if I want to, but ultimately, again, because the mitzvah has morphed, we light inside. Suppose I could a person light outside if they want to? So interestingly enough, this is also a discussion. There are some poskim that hold that no, the mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz has changed, and therefore you have to light inside. It seems to me most opinions don't hold that way. If a person wants to light outside, they absolutely have the right to do so. Is there a chiyuv to do so in Chutz La'aretz? The answer to that seems to be unequivocally no. That one does not have an obligation to light outside in Chutz La'aretz. And Eretz Yisrael is a different discussion. Eretz Yisrael, you certainly have to light outside, if at all possible. But in Chutz La'aretz, we'll say this is actually one of these fascinating examples of a situation where what's occurred, societal realities have fundamentally altered the nature of mitzvah performance. So you take a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which in its essence is supposed to be performed outside, but because of multiple years of anti-Semitism, was moved inside, to the point that even if anti-Semitism is not there, I can light outside. We'll say, think about this, are we able to light outside? Baruch Hashem, yes, yes, you can light outside. The truth is, again, we might, if it's a nice menorah, it might not be there the next morning. That's a different discussion. But Lamaisa, again, there's really no anti-Semitic factors that are preventing me. But again, the Minchas Yitzchok and others explain, and this is really fascinating, that the nature of Ner Chanukah has fundamentally changed to the point that in the diaspora, the way we fulfill this mitzvah, Shalmichem Daniel, there are sheets right over here if you'd like. So fundamentally it has changed to the point that what? To the point that now we light inside. So we'll say, so this is now. What you'll see is something very interesting. Now what I will tell you, and we're going to get into this in just a little bit, however, again, the one way we kind of straddle the line a little bit is, although in Chutz La'aretz we light inside, but yet we try to do what? Where do we light? Where do you light? By a window. Suppose I see, if you notice again, it's a little bit of a hybrid shita. Why? Because we saw before, what did the Shulchan Aruch say? If you're lighting inside because of sakana, then where do you put your menorah? Anywhere you want. Yet, dafkin out of the window. Yet, interestingly enough, what we do is we still light inside because that's the nature of diaspora, Ner Chanukah mitzvah performance, but we place it by the window. So they kind of have like our jelly donut and eat it too. You know, you. I'm lighting it inside because that's the minhag of Chutz La'aretz, but I'm putting it by the window so as to go ahead and fulfill some type of pirsuminism. I'll tell you where this comes up. This comes up in the following situation. What happens if, let's say again, one of the nights of Chanukah, you're out. You're out. In other words, you have a simcha. You get home at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you light Ner Chanukah with a bracha or not? So we're going to discuss this. Now, both sides. So here's what's interesting. The answer to that question is it depends. It's always a safe answer. Anything in halacha, right? It depends. Now, both sides. Now, watch this. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, can you light the Ner Chanukah at 3 o'clock in the morning with a bracha? So it depends. Are there people on the street or not? If the streets are deserted, then oh, right, people might be, right, it's been as manim. So if ultimately, again, if there are people on the street, so there's you're publicizing the miracle, you can light with a bracha. If there are no people on the street, You can light, but you cannot light with a bracha. In other words, wherever the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah doesn't have an element of persumi nisa, publicizing the miracle, you can't light with a bracha. Now watch this. What happens if the same situation occurs in Chutzlar? It's Baltimore. You get on 3 o'clock in the morning. Can you light inside your house with a bracha? So we'll say, what does that depend on? Is someone else in the house up? See, interestingly enough, in Chutzlaretz, once the mitzvah of hadlaka has moved inside, then ultimately, again, the ikar persumei nisa, the primary publicizing of the miracle, is no longer for the people outside, it's actually for the people inside. And this will say, now, again, we try to make everyone happy by putting it in the window. This way, it's for the people outside, it's for the people inside. But I'm just pointing out, because it was saying, if... I'm sorry?
If I'm traveling around the hotel room at 8 o'clock in the afternoon, in the evening, no one inside is presuming inside.
No. Oh, so one second. There's an issue with that. Meaning, I would tell you that if halacha lemaisa, a person is traveling, I'm in a hotel myself.
My bungalow in the country.
In the country. The country, right? So what I would tell you is as follows. In a case like that, let's say where you're at your hotel room, you're traveling for business, you know, it's run by yourself. You're better off, by the way, calling your wife, telling her to have you in mind when you light, because it's still your home, and you could be yotzi with that hadlaka in your home. You'd be better off with that. Because hadlaka you're going to do by yourself in your hotel room, there's no pursuing, besides leaving aside lighting fires in your hotel room. Leaving that aside, assuming that's not a problem. If there's no one else to see it, there's a real deficiency in your Kiyum HaMitzvah. So in that case, the beauty of Ner Chanukah, we're going to discuss it probably next week's share, the beauty of Ner Chanukah is, it's a din in the bias, it's not a din in the individual. So as long as Ner Chanukah is being lit in your home, even if you're not there to partake of it, you're still Yotzei.
That's Barry's question, right, about right to left.
So this will bleed into the right to left, left to right. If you're lighting outside, then the Iker Persumei Nisa, publicizing the miracles for the people outside, then you would go right to left from the outside. From the outside.
The person driving by will see it correctly.
That is correct. Because the Iker is for them. If you're lighting inside, even if you're lighting by a window, we light right to left from the perspective of the kindler. From the person who was lighting. So the people on the outside actually see the reverse. That is correct. So this, by the way, is an incredibly dramatic halacha. An incredibly dramatic halacha. So let's finish off this
particular... Let's take that question real quick. So
yeah.
The lighting outside. So if you're going to go ahead and light outside, does that mean you light outside? Meaning that, like, what we do in our house is, we have this here. We lit inside, and we took one of the menorahs, and we brought them outside in the glass box.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that ever again.
Gotcha.
No. So the Iker halacha is as follows. We say hadlaka osa mitzvah, which means at the time you kindle the menorah has to have enough oil, has to be in the right place, everything has to be there. You can't light the menorah and then move it somewhere else. So if you are going to kindle outside, that menorah should be set up outside and the kindling should be done outside. Now, if you're kindling inside and outside, that's an interesting discussion. So you do some inside, some outside?
We do all but one. One goes outside.
So you light all of them inside and then move
and then
one.
Whose
do you move? Yours. Okay. So no.
Well, this is quite bad in the
yeah. I was going to say, so probably, right, so, right, so probably better, I would say, definitely, if you're going to move someone's menorah, I would sooner do it as a woman's than a man's, only because a woman technically is yotzei with her husband's hadlaka, but I would not do your menorah. So either light everything inside, or if you're going to light one outside, light that one, you have like the glass box, light it outside. Light it outside.
When can it be moved in?
After a half hour. Yeah, after a half hour, you can blow it out.
I'm
in.
Not worried about it.
Yeah, you can move it back in. Absolutely. Same way. If you have I have to leave my house. I have 3 hours of oil in there. Once a half hour goes, I could blow it out and I could leave after that. Suppose I said again. See, understand this to me is one of the most exciting halachas in Hilchos Chanukah, because it gets to the essence of the mitzvah, and it's a dramatic example of how societal realities impact the actual performance of the mitzvah. A mitzvah which was clearly designed to be done outside moved inside as a result of anti-Semitism, and in Chutz Laaretz, even when anti-Semitism is halavai, not here, not present, we still light inside, but again, put it by the window to be able to accomplish, you know, both objectives. So let's finish the halacha. So listen to this. Vitzarech was another important halacha. Vitzarech ner acher l'shtamish lo'ro. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you need another candle in order to be able to use its light. So we'll say, what is this talking about over here? So if you take a look, at the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah Sif Chav Dalet says, Vitzarech ner acher la'asos heker l'davar. So we'll say, the halacha by ner Chanukah as opposed to ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos, you are dafka, you have to get benefit from it. You have to get benefit from ner Shabbos. Shosai gets into a whole discussion about if you're lighting Shabbos candles, then you're going out of your house for dinner and not going to be back until the candles are already out. There's a discussion about what you have to do in that situation. Ner Chanukah, you cannot get benefit from it. So what do? Shulchan Aruch says, you should light a shamish. Light the shamish, light one additional candle, lehishtamish la'oro, in order to go ahead and what? If you do end up getting benefit from the menorah, we attribute the benefit, Rata Rabo say, to the shamish candle and not to the other candles. However, v'imyesh medura yitzrach neracher. If you have other lighting, medura, Rabo say, literally is a torch. If you have another source of illumination in your home, so you don't need the shamish. Right? Meaning, if I'm getting light from us, you don't need the shamish. V'imu adam chashuv, shein darkul l'shtamish lar medura, tzarach neracher. Okay, so we don't have to get into the adam chashuv piece. Rabo say, I will show you something amazing. Take a look at the Ber Halacha. Rabo say, this is actually very interesting. By the way, this comes up more often than you think. Do I have to have a shamish or not? Do I have to have a shamish? So let's say the Tel's Yeshiva is getting much more, because of austerity measures, they're not sending out as many Hanukkah candles as they used to, right? They used to send out boxes upon boxes. Now I only have one box. If I use a shamish every night, I'm not going to have enough candles. If I don't use a shamish, I have enough candles. What's that? Am I obligated to go ahead and light a shamish on my menorah or not? So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say it depends. The shamish is there so that in the event that I end up inadvertently using the light of the menorah, I can attribute my benefit to what? To the light of the shamish. Using that logic, if I have another source of illumination in my home, like a torch or a light for that matter, let's say it's a very important halacha. Sometimes people think, that the ultimate, mood for the Ner Chanukah is turn off the lights. Everybody gathers around the menorah. We light the menorah. It's beautiful. There's only one problem. It's usher, right? But aside from that, it's magnificent. But I will say why? Because literally by Ner Chanukah, you are not supposed to get benefits from the light. It's supposed to be a light of a mitzvah, not a light of illumination. I'm sorry? Because the assumption is getting from the moon, from the stars. Your front light. Right? So you have to assume that this, right? You have to assume that there's some type, you have to make sure. Now again, so the answer is that's why you have the shamish. The shamish is there. Your brother Yosef is saying, good, I'm lighting outside. It's dark. So here I need to say the bracha, so I need to sing Moser, I need to sing on Eros Halal. So what do? So again, that's why you have the shamish. So the shamish is there that in the event that I go ahead and I get benefit from the Ner Chanukah, I can attribute that benefit not to the Chanukah candles, but to the shamish. But using this logic, if there is an alternate source of light, I don't need a shamish. Now watch this. Look at the Ber Halacha. So the Ber Halacha says, we'll say this is on the, if you're looking on the sheet, say, well, hey, Mishnah Berurah, it's to the left of the Mishnah Berurah. So it's the Dibre Hamascha, V'tzarech ner achar l'shtamish lo'ro. Perish Rashi, Mishum Akeira. V'rotzi lomar shafilu im lo yirtzech ha l'shtamish lo'ro, mikol makom tzarech ner achar, shi hayecholis biyado l'shtamish lo'ro. Va'al yidei zeh minkar shehaner harishon hu l'shem mitzvah. Dilav hachi kevan shomin al shochan yomer shal tzarko iliko. So we'll say, Rashi understands over here that the point of the shamish is to what? Is to show that the Chanukah candles are not lights of illumination, but they're lights of mitzvos. The fact that I have an extra candle there shows that these candles that are kindled are for mitzvah purposes, not for illumination purposes. So according to Rashi's logic, even if I have an alternate source of illumination, I should still kindle a shamish, because at the end of the day, the shamish is what shows, the shamish is the higher candle, there's also another piece, the shamish has to be distinguishable from the rest of the candles, that's the candle for illumination, the rest of the candles are for mitzvos. But watch this. Venir dafka b'manicha ha-shulchano. Aval kol shamaniach samoch lepesach, ein tzarech lener acheres, af api sh'omid lo l'sham. Hoil ve'ino ba l'ishtamish la'ora le'eza tashmish. So what's that? So the Baruch says something amazing. When do you need a shamish? That's only if the menorah is sitting on your table. Because also if the menorah is sitting on your table, then what's the concern? What's the concern? Candlelight dinner, right? You start reading by it. So I'll say that's the concern. But if I'm putting my menorah by the entranceway of my home, where I will say clearly again, and it's possibly even outside of my home, I'm not getting any illuminatory benefit from that menorah. It's clear that it's a ner mitzvah, and therefore, again, there is no need for a shamish. However, writes the Ber Halacha, Achein minaga olam, v'chein minaga rabosenu, de'bechol ner chanaka, hamudlekes besoch habayis, tzorech ner acheres, afilu lo hayotzorech lishtamish, shelo yomru letzorko hilika, v'chein ani noheg lemaisa. So Moshe, so the Ber Halacha says, our minog is that wherever you are lighting your menorah, what's the halacha? You light a shamish. Why do you light a shamish, Moshe? Really two purposes. Number one, in the event that I end up getting benefit from the light, I could attribute my benefit to the shamish illumination, not to the rest of the Neros Chanukah. And more important, it also because it broadcasts a message. The very presence of the shamish broadcasts a message that the Neros Chanukah, the Chanukah lights, are not there for illuminatory purposes, but rather are there and only there for mitzvah purposes. Yes,
so if there are multiple Chanukiyot in the house, even though, like last week, you said you have to spread them out a little bit. So each one should have a shamash as opposed to one shamash.
Absolutely, absolutely. So sometimes you'll have this where people, if you have a family lighting multiple menorahs, so right, one person lights the candle, everybody borrows the same shamash. It seems according to this Ber Halacha, every single menorah should have its own shamash.
So how do you use a shamash on an oil menorah?
Like it comes with a candle, you can't move the box.
Oh, no. So it's fine. So what you do is you use the candle, right? So normally what I would tell people in that circumstance is you go ahead, you light the shamish bulb, light the shamish oil, take the candle, right? Light a candle from that. Use that to light the rest of the Neros Chanukah. Then you can blow out the candle. Oh. But the point is the shamish oil bulb is still there. So once again, remember what the Ber Halacha is saying is the shamish really serves this dual purpose. Number one, in the event that I inadvertently get benefit from the light, I could attribute the benefit to the shamish and not to the Neros Chanukah. And even if there's not an issue of benefiting from the light, the very presence of the shamish, by definition, shows that the Neros Chanukah are not there for illuminatory purposes, but rather only there for mitzvah purposes. All right, Shaka, let's stop over here.